Emmanuel Church has been connected to Quebec Ministries for quite a while. It's on our heart. It's our passion. We believe in the mission of what needs to take place in Quebec. A few of us were just down at a church planting seminar conference just this weekend. We went down on Friday, came back last night, and got to hear some really neat church planting stories that are taking place across British Columbia. And we want to be part of that story as well. But we're also wanting to be continuing to part of the story of what's taken place in Quebec. I didn't know Gary Connors before this weekend, but to know him is to love him. He's one of those people, when you hold out your hand to shake hands, say, hi, how are you? He ignores a hand altogether and gives you a big hug. And he's well-loved, well-known throughout our conference, throughout the country, because of his passion and his love for people. Can we give a warm Emmanuel welcome to Gary Connors? You tricked me.
If you were in Quebec, I'd do this. There you go.
Oh, that's wonderful. My bubble has burst.
Yeah. Bonjour, chers amis. Comment allez-vous? I actually said, go Habs, go, but you didn't respond to that. No. You know, I'm a bit jealous this morning. I met Samuel at the door, a nice French name like that. Where are you, Samuel? Are you in the room there somewhere? He's outside. He brought a nice coffee to this young lady over here, and he forgot about me at the front, you know? French name like that, and forgot about me. I'll speak to him after. Maybe he'll have one for me. It is great to be with you here today, and your church has been involved with Quebec, as Pastor Jeff said, many, many years now. It's not the first time that you hear about what God is doing in Quebec and the needs are in Quebec. Actually, I think it was in 2002 at the General Conference that was in Victoria, I was asked to give one of the workshops there about the need in the province of Quebec and in French Canada. And I'll always remember this because at one of these conferences, there's 1,000, 1,200 people who come. And they, when it comes to the workshop times, they have people go to different breakout sections. And they gave me the only room that was left for the breakout session, and that was the main room with 1,200 seats in it. And so, oh man, what's going to happen, you know? And so I went in there, and I think there was about 12 people who came to my workshop. I don't know if this ever happened to you. You know, you're there, and there's this huge auditorium, and you say, "Well, let's come over here and gather in the first row, and I'm going to give you the workshop." And your former pastor, Pastor Derek, came, and a few other pastors came to that particular workshop. And I probably had more presenters in my workshop than there were people who came to the workshop. But I believe something stuck in the heart of Pastor Derek at the time. He started to say, well, what can we do as Emmanuel Church to help in Quebec? And so that's where we got connected, and that's where you first got in touch with Victoria Church and the pastor and his wife there. And over the years, your church became a model for me is how we're going to bring this out over all of Canada. You know, I would go places and speak about the need in Quebec, and people would say, well, you know, you're telling us, give us a way how we could do it. Well, I gave your model across Canada. And so you were the first church, really, who came along and partnered with churches in Quebec or in French Canada. And over the years, there's been over 30 to 35 churches across Canada who have come on board to partner with the model that you set up with. And so I know you have a great affinity as well with Quebec. It's like I'm almost here preaching to the already converted in this particular area. And also back in, I believe it was 2003, you had the first symposium on the needs for Quebec, right here in your church when it was just the other building. People from the province of BC came down, and I remember that 2-day seminar where we talked about the different needs. And so, later on, Pastor Derek became what we called the team leader of the Quebec and Francophone Canada Guiding Group. Anybody who championed the idea of wanting to help in Quebec, we'd get together on an occasional basis and just, brainstorm, what can we do? And Pastor Derek was ahead of that. So I know your church is very much involved in and has been in the past. And so I just want to say merci beaucoup. Merci beaucoup. Merci beaucoup. Thank you very much for all that you've done. And it really has made a difference. And we want to thank the Lord for that. And your pastor was so kind as is inviting me to come today. And how many of you have been to Quebec? Well, that's pretty good. Yeah. Sometimes I was at Vanguard Bible College on Thursday, and I said, how many have been to Quebec? And I had to count the hands. I'd say about 10%. And so what I gave to him at the chapel that morning at Vanguard was, I brought him a little tour of the city. So let me just take you there in case of those of you who have never been there before. And here's just a picture of downtown Quebec City. Who's been to Quebec City? You know, people have said like a lot of parts of Montreal and Quebec is a bit like bringing Europe over into North America. We'll look at the other one here, another slide. You just see some of the richness, and that's an old church in downtown Quebec City. And wherever you go, you see the history, you see the walls there, the original walls, and many, many years ago. Continue on, Cal. You know, this house is the oldest house on the island of Orleans, just beside Quebec City, and just gives you an idea of some of the feeling there is when you're there and keep going, the culture. And one thing you'll find in Quebec, there's a lot to do with, you know, arts and, not arts and crafts, but arts and, continue on music and, wherever you go in Quebec, you see people pick up instruments and sing and play, and artistry is everywhere. This last slide we're going to see is also one thing you'll find in Quebec, as I said in that slide, is you'll find an awful lot of churches. And one thing you find about the churches is that if you'd ever go on other than the tourist time, those churches really are quite empty. So it's one thing to feel about maybe it's a great place to come, it's a beautiful place for food. I should have put a picture of food up there, okay? Should have had a plate of poutine or some bagels or something like that or some other type of food. It's a great place for that as well. Quebec's a wonderful place to live. I always say that probably the two provinces that are most alike is British Columbia and Quebec in a lot of ways. You come here and you feel very much at home. There's a real sense that there's a lot of connectivity between both. Let me talk to you a bit about a few stats for Quebec and French Canada. So here's a bit of the statistics of Quebec. Approximately 8.3 million people. The majority of them speak French. Some only speak one language, and unilingual French. Here's an interesting fact. There are 365,000 people who speak only English. That's quite a number. And if you add that to the over three million dollars, that would be good. People who speak French and English, there's probably around 3.3 million people you could converse with. Like, for example, here, what's the population of BC? Do you know? 4 or 5 million? I know in Alberta, when I was there, it's close to about 3.3 million. And so I said it was at the Vanguard Bible College the other day. I said, you know, we could take all of the province of Alberta, bring them to Quebec, and theoretically at least, you could find someone to speak to in English. And when we're in Western Canada and other areas, we don't think about that, how much there is a great need, and in Quebec, not just in French, but in English. And missiologists say it's the greatest Western world need is the English in Quebec. Isn't that something? And so you're going to see a few other stats in a minute that I'm going to give to you about the church. Included in those stats is also the English population. This is just talking about Quebec here, but I didn't change this particular slide. But across Canada, there is 11 million people who can converse in French. And actually, since the last census, the latest census that's been taken, it has grown to almost 500,000 more people speak French in Canada. And there's two provinces that seem to have grown more than the others outside of Quebec, It's Alberta and British Columbia, with French-speaking people here in the province of BC, British Columbia. So, continue on, Pastor Cal. I want to talk to you a bit about the spiritual atmosphere in the province of Quebec, and really in French Canada. Here's one fact. The French-Canadian culture is 75% or more Roman Catholic. So on the poll, when they say, what is your religious affiliation, they will write down they're Roman Catholic. But if you will just parallel that to this next slide, which says, less than 20% ever attend Mass. And can I tell you today that I'm being very generous with the 6%, only 6% on a regular basis. And that is generous. Only 6% on a regular basis. So in a lot of ways, when we see the empty churches, we realize there's a real vacuum there. A real vacuum with so many people. A vacuum in the churches are like a shell, but there's nothing inside. Next verse is, we want to talk a bit about the evangelical churches in the province of Quebec. I can hardly read it. They're all going to turn around and look, but it says, here are Quebec cities with no Protestant evangelical church witness. Have a look at this list on the next slide. I know there's one there, Kirkland, that says almost 20,000 people. Just recently, there's a church that was meeting somewhere else, has moved into a Kirkland theater, and they're meeting there now. But here are some communities, some close to 30,000 people who do not have any, I didn't say Pentecostal church, I said evangelical church, either French or English, in their community. Communities that large without an evangelical church witness. It really amounts to about 1.8 million people in our province, next slide, that have no evangelical witness at all. That's quite something when you come to think about it. Now, for me, when I travel outside of the province of Quebec, it always strikes me when I come to a situation like your particular church here, for example, just to get down the street, I had to go by two other churches just to get down the street. And I spoke to Pastor Tom, when I was bringing me from the airport this morning. I said, how many do you think there are Pentecostal Assemblies Canada churches that are in this area? And he said, maybe about five or six, and if you can sit them all around. And so I asked Pastor Jeff this morning, well, how many evangelical churches are there in this particular area? And Pastor Jeff wasn't sure, but he said maybe 30, 40 evangelical churches. Did you get to 70 in your mind for 120, if you put Kelowna as well, in a population of 120,000 people. So that blows my mind, I must tell you, because it's not what the reality is in really French Canada and in Quebec. The next slide will give you an idea. That was the harvest field, if you want to. If you look at the harvest force, those who are to go out and reap the harvest, this is what it is in Quebec. If you talk about Protestant evangelicals, Baptist, Pentecostal, Mennonite, Salvation Army, other traditional evangelical groups, French, English, ethnic, all, Sunday mornings there's less than 1% of the population that would be in an evangelical church. So that's somewhere between 77,000 to 83,000 people on a Sunday morning in an evangelical church. And that's a population of 8.3 million. Can I just tell you this morning, that's not anywhere else but in our own Canada. That's right here in Canada. And I believe these stats are real meaningful to you because you've taken it to heart in the past. But maybe some here, you've never had the chance to see those stats, and I believe the Lord wants you to see it. He wants you to know in your heart there's a great need in the province of Quebec. What do you think of the team sweater I lent your pastor this morning? I almost said gave. He would have kept it. So I said, lent your pastor this morning. It talks about serving Canada. And in my books, Quebec is a part of Canada. Born and raised there. It's in who I am. I love Canada. If anywhere else in the world but Quebec I'd live, it would be in BC. I just like it a lot here. But I do know my place is in Quebec. I love it there. But there's a real need, and I love sharing that need with you. It's a great need. This morning I'd like to take you to a passage of scripture in John. So, how do we respond to the need? Next slide. How do we meet the need and respond to the command of Jesus? Go back to you can go to the next slide. I didn't write, okay, go back one there. Cal, I forgot that one. Go back to the other slide. This would tell you, in the Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada, we have 105 of our churches in the province of Quebec. So actually, the Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada has the largest number of evangelical churches in the province of Quebec. So that's great. We can thank the Lord for that. Continue to the next one. So how do we respond? Meeting the need and responding to the command of Matthew and Mark of Jesus going into all the world. One thing about the story that we're going to look at today, it's found in all the Gospels, and it's the story of the multiplication of the fish and the loaves of bread. So if you'll turn with me in John chapter 6, I want to go over the story as it's found in John chapter 6, because I like the story, I like the word, the way it's set up there, the way he's recorded it. Let's have a look at it together, and I'm going to start in verse 5. When Jesus looked up, he saw a great crowd coming towards him. So he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" We just stop and listen to that comment from Jesus. Jesus is asking Philip what they were going to do about the situation of having such a big need. It's quite an interesting statement, isn't it? Normally, we see the statement is the disciples or us coming to God and say, well, what are we going to do? But in this particular case, it's Jesus turning to Philip, and he says, Philip, what are we going to do? Do you ever feel that way with the Lord? Sometimes you're in a situation. You're the one who doesn't know what to do, and all of a sudden, it's like, oh, as if the Lord is saying to you, well, what are we going to do about this? And you say, well, if you don't know what's going to happen, well, how do I know what's going to take place? How am I going to handle that? And then we see in verse 7 that Philip says, he answers him, he says, it would take more than a half year's wages to buy enough bread for each one to have a bite. Now, Philip, I don't know how much he made, but the wage was about 200 denarii, the scriptures say. In other words, half a year's wage, we might be able to give each of them a bite. The 5,000 men and the woman and the children that were there. Is it interesting when people seem to be able to set it out real clearly before us? You're going through a difficult situation. You already feel the situation you're in. And then somebody can come along and say, well, let me detail it out for you, how bad the situation really is. You know, you're in a t'es dans le pétrin, as we say in French. You're in the mud. You have a situation. You're stuck. And you don't know how to get, and then all of a sudden somebody comes along and says to you real compassionately, man, you're really stuck in the mud, aren't you? And let me just describe it to you. Let me describe how bad your situation really is. It might be financial. It might be something else. The bank might come up and say, did you know? You know when you haven't paid your credit card for a while, then the collector calls and says, hello, Mr. Connish. Did you know? Yes, I knew. If I would have known it's you calling in this phone, I would never have answered this phone. And then he starts describing it to you. And it sounds worse, because you know his next question is going to be what? So what kind of arrangement can we make here? What can be done? And you have no solution to what can be done. Well, Philip lays it out really good. There's so many people, this is how bad it is. And then Andrew comes along, who is overhearing the conversation, and in verse 8, he sort of adds on to it. He says, well, Andrew spoke up, another one of the disciples, and he, Simon Peter's brother, he says, well, here's a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish, but how far will they go along so many? Andrew spoke up and said what little resources they had and how this fact just exacerbated things for them. Oh yeah, well that's the big problem. But here's the other side of the coin. You have hardly anything. And let me describe it to you. You got 5 fish and you got, was it 5? I always mix that one up. Whoever never mixes that one up? More fish than bread. I'd like to take a poll today, but I don't know if you'll tell me the truth about that. There were 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And he describes it. He says, this is where it is at. Then Jesus speaks. And I don't know if you noticed this in verse 6. I went over it willingly this morning. In verse 6 it says, after Jesus said to Philip, where shall we buy bread for these people to eat? This is what he said. He asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. And then we read in verse 10 to 13, Jesus said, have the people sit down. He had a plan. There was plenty of grass in the place, and they sat down, about 5,000 men. Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. And when they had all had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, gather the pieces that are left over, let nothing be wasted. So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of the 5 barley loaves left over by those from those who had eaten. He was going to do, and whatever we do, friends, in whatever situation we find ourselves, this is what we got to remember from this story. Jesus already knows what he's going to do. Jesus already has the plan. And his plan was a miraculous plan. It was a plan that only the Lord could accomplish. Go to the next slide. A couple of years ago, I heard George Woods. He was the Secretary Treasurer for the Assemblies of God, USA. And he came out, and there's must have been 1,000 people in the room, and he says, today I'm going to give you 3 rules of how to fail. That's quite a message, isn't it, for a pastor to come out like that? 3 rules. And he said, here's the 3 rules. First of all, next slide. Rule 1, always concentrate on the immensity of the task, and you're sure to fail. Secondly, he said, always focus in on your limited resources. And thirdly, he said, always keep Jesus out of the picture. Always keep Jesus out of the picture. So conversely, if you have Jesus in the picture, he's going to handle things. Friends, Jesus has a plan. And I believe the plan for the province of Quebec, the Lord is working it out, and he is going to continue to do it. And so this morning, I just want to ask Cal and Chrissy, Akron, if they would come here with me. And Cal and Chrissy, I want them to share a bit about their call and response to what they felt was God's plan in their life when they came to Quebec a few years ago. Cal and Chrissy became my son's pastor while they were in Quebec. And they're fluently French now. Talk to us a bit about your journey, and I'm going to check the time. I might cut you off.
All right. Well, first of all, the presentation that he was giving about the need in Quebec in 2002, now you did that in a small group, but you also did a bit of that in the main session. That was the moment for me that I said, we're going to Quebec, actually. It was 2002.
Didn't know that.
And we went there for 6 years in Quebec, and it was just a fantastic, incredible time of ministry there, life-giving. For Chrissy, there's even more to the story where she is just a lover of everything French.
Yeah, I was just going to share that 2002 was the time that really connected with us. And so Cal had gone off to the General Conference, In the meantime, we were actually living in Oliver at the time. We were pastoring down in the church down there. And so we were currently working with a lot of the French fruit pickers here in the Okanagan. So we had that connection, but we had zero knowledge of what the need was in Quebec. And you had gone off to the conference and were listening to Gary's stats being presented there. I was working at the church in Oliver. And some information from the general conference had come across my desk. And so at the same time, we were both receiving these stats. There was a brochure that general conference had put out. And we both were like, what? Like, when presented with that need, with those numbers, we both felt compelled. We have to do something. And so that was a really intense desire to, okay, God has opened the door and we had to run with it. So one of the things that we learned, even just by working with the French fruit pickers, is, and during our time in Quebec, is that the people there are very spiritual. They were very open. But as you were talking about the Catholic churches being empty, they didn't have that understanding of a real relationship with Jesus Christ. And so that was our goal while we were there, is just to present Jesus in a way that was understandable and relatable.
So with the stats being presented, we might be joining Tom and Val. Who knows?
So tell me a bit about your time in... How long were you in Quebec for?
We were in Quebec for 6 years.
6 years, wow. And we couldn't keep you longer than that?
It was a struggle to leave. It really was.
I know. I know that because I've tried to get him back a few times. You know, I'd offer him Habs tickets and everything, and, you know, lifetime of Putin. But, you know, Cal, and the reason I had you come up now is because, you know, I really think that because God has a plan, you're part of that plan. And you might just think it's a very insignificant thing, but the seeds you sowed in people's lives when you were there are still growing today. You know, the discipleship that you did in the areas that you worked in, that evangel with down in these townships, that youth with the mission and all that. And so I believe that's all part of God's plan. And when you say yes to God's plan, you say, well, I don't understand. I don't know how we're going to reach it. But all I do is say yes and leave it in God's hand.
Yes.
And now you're here in this church, and I think you're a great fan for what's going on.
Absolutely.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thanks.
Thank you.
Cal and Chrissy. So, part of the plan as well, let's go to the next slide. The Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada used to have a program called Flight. Anybody hear about Flight before? You'd have to be really a long time if you see. It meant French Language Intensive Training for Evangelism. It ran from 1969 to 1984. And then in those 15 years, it was promoted that if you came to Quebec, we would teach you French, and then we would help you pioneer church. Well, in those 15 years, 58 graduates from our Bible colleges from across Canada came to Quebec. And listen to this, they planted 29 churches in the province of Quebec and the Maritimes. So if you figure it, that's one church for every two graduates who came to the province. And before we rebooted and refreshed the program, I was doing research at our archives in Toronto, and found that today, between 20 to 22 churches of those 29 are still in existence today and are thriving and are growing. Amen? It's just fantastic to see people say, okay, I'm going to go, and God used them in that way. All sorts of reason was there why we closed the program, financial situations, so on and so forth, political situations, if you remember in Quebec at the time. But 30 years later, maybe because I had seen and lived that, because I'd been in ministry in Quebec. I graduated from Bible College in 1975. So I lived through those years, and I knew the fruitfulness of the program. With Mission Canada, we decided to reboot the program under this new name, Fit for M, French Intensive Training for Ministry. Here's what the program is like. I'm here right now on the Western Tour because I was at Vanguard, I'm at Summit tomorrow, and I'm at Horizon on Thursday, trying to share in the young people's hearts is, would you consider ministry to come to Quebec and in French Canada? And what we do is we enroll these students into a French program, either in a university or in École de Francisation, and we actually put them on a church staff for the year that they're studying French. We provide their room and board. We provide the bursary. We pay all their education. And we only ask them to stay the rest of their lives in Quebec. No, we don't say that. We say, please consider staying 2 more years in the province of Quebec or somewhere in French Canada. And so can I just say that this morning, if maybe you might not feel, I don't feel called to go down and learn French, but I do have a heart for the ministry. There's a fund that's called the Robert Argue Fund. It's given in the honor of our former home missions director in the PUC, which helps fund this particular program. So if today you would ever feel that you would want to fund into that, I do have some cards at the back. Please come and see me. It's not a hard sell. It's just saying if God would touch your heart, that would be great. But when I do go to colleges, I do speak about, are you called? Would you come to Quebec? A few years ago, I got a call from a young, at heart, man and woman, who said, well, we're really sensing God wants to do something right where we live. So this morning, I'm going to invite Tom and Val to come, another couple from your own church here today. And I'm going to let them tell a bit their story, but Tom and Val are almost French. I remember after he came to General Conference, I had these shirts made for our welcoming team to the conference, and this gentleman here, he said, I want one. So we didn't have any left, so we actually had another one made for him. Did you know that?
I did.
Okay.
I did not know that. No.
Tell us your story.
Okay, I just want to start with a quotation. Some of you have heard a little bit of what's been going on with us, but a quote by Dietrich Bonhoeffer from 1939. We must be ready to allow ourselves to be interrupted by God. God will be constantly crossing our paths and canceling our plans. So our plans have been interrupted. It's interesting that Cal and Chrissy talked about 2002. 2002 is the first time that Val and I ever went to Quebec. It was our 10th anniversary. We had a little money set aside. So it's like, well, let's go to Europe. And then because our kids were babies, it was like, well, let's stay on the continent. So, okay, next best thing. We'll go to Quebec and, you know, and experience like all those pictures you had up there. You know, we went to Quebec. We went to Montreal. It was amazing. Like, we really loved it. But I remember we were driving along in the car at some point, because it was May and snowing, of course. So we're driving along, and I remember Val saying, oh, you know, this has been great, but I would love to get into the life of real Quebecers, like get into the homes and see what it's really like. So it's like, yeah, that would be cool. Fly home. And then it was 3 weeks later, after this conference, Derek comes up on a Sunday morning and says, we have a partnership. We have a partnership with a church in Quebec. And I remember leaning over to Val, not that you would ever talk during a service, of course, but I remember leaning over and saying, we're going. And take over from there.
Thank you. Yeah, so fast forward, we kind of thought, okay, we want to go. And so we... I think Benoit and Alain came to our church and kind of talked a little bit about Victoriaville. And it was 5 years after that, in 2007, where we went to Victoriaville, this little town in Quebec. And we spent the summer there with our kids and kind of immersed ourselves in the community. And we then a team came out as well for a couple of weeks. And we did a program, I don't know if you remember, like Love West Side or Love Abbotsford, where you do different things in the community just to show, you know, to kind of promote the church, but also just to promote the love of Jesus. And so that's what we did there. And it was a really amazing experience for us. And then we came back and it's like, okay, now what? And we kind of went on with our life and we were kind of thinking, well, is this it? And we weren't really sure what was, you know, we kind of got busy with life. And then we realized in retrospect, when we look back, it was like right after we got back, that was when Tom started, he went back to school again, he finished, then I went back to school, and then I finished. And then the next part is you.
So now, fast forward, I started school in 2008. Val finished school in 2015. We both did our counseling degrees. In 2016, I went to General Conference, and that was the first time I saw that very poster or that very billboard at the back of the Palais de Congrès in Montreal.
Tu es très bon, monsieur.
Oh, merci. I have to look for approval every time I say anything in French. It terrifies me. Bless you. So saw this very poster, and it was, all this stuff came flooding back. School was done. We were now at this next step. So I remember texting or telling Val and at some point, and we thought that maybe that itch was scratched, but we realized that no, it wasn't. So we started this whole process, and it was interesting this time because this had been pretty much just something that Val and I had been discussing on our own, and then randomly we're at a retreat, and Cal sat down with me and said, so hey, thinking about this, thinking about potentially a Quebec thing, what do you think? And I was like, what? Because this had been going on in our hearts. So we had been kind of processing on this. And so that was like 6 months after I'd been at this conference. 2-3 months later, Jeff and Nikki, Cal and Chrissy, Val and I sit down. We're talking a little bit about what does a unique church plant look like? And actually, Cal had brought up Fit for M, and we said, yeah, all well and good, but not till we retire, because, you know, take a year of school and then stay there forever, I believe was what you said, yes. But so, like, that's just table in the back of my mind. 3 weeks later, we're at another little conference. This seems like all we do is go to conferences, but they're not, like, every 2 days, just so you know. So 3 weeks later, we're down in Abbotsford, and there's this guy named Gary there. And I'm like, wow, we should probably talk to him. And it was Gary who came up with re-articulating that the mandate is Quebec or French Canada, wherever you find it. And so all of a sudden, because I work in the school district and I can take a year's leave, this wasn't way out in the future. This suddenly became a lot more immediate. And that was actually when we started the process, was in early 2017. So we've been sitting on this for quite some time, but now it's becoming very, very real. It was interesting thinking about the dates. I read a book in 2007, just as we were finishing our summer in Quebec. We actually had gone to see some friends in Ontario before we flew home. And after the whole summer being overwhelmed, you know, where you're translating everything in, you know, from English to French or French to English, we went to a bookstore, and it was in English, and it was amazing, so we bought a lot of books. And one of the books we bought was this book called Holy Discontent by Bill Hybels, and in it, Bill talks about that sometimes you get, like, this nudge or this thing that it just wrecks you. You can't shake it, and I have come to firmly believe that in that case for us, we haven't been able to shake Quebec. We haven't been able to shake Francophone culture, because we talk about Quebec, we talk about Francophone culture, you go, so why are you going for a year and coming back? The reason we're coming back is because there are 3,000 Francophones in the Kelowna area. Did you know that? 3,000 in Kelowna, 6,000 in the valley. So the idea that there can be vibrant French ministry here in the central Okanagan, absolutely. And that's what we're doing.
Amen.
You don't need this.
I don't need that.
I'm going to take it.
But I'm going to ask you to stay here. I'm going to invite Pastor Jeff to come up, because I'll let him finish this. But let me just say that we want to be able, in many ways, to reach all of French Canada, and whatever unique way can be presented to us. And so we really like the idea of being able to reach French here in BC. And whatever your church comes up with a vision, and for that, we're behind you. And so we'll release him. He can leave after a year and come back here. But it's been very good being with you this morning. And can I just say, as I conclude my part and pass over to your pastor, is that that scripture that I talked about in John chapter 6, it's not just about, you know, what I spoke about. I really believe God has a plan for each one of us. And we sometimes, you know, just don't realize what He is doing in our lives. He's doing great things. And we just always have to keep Jesus in the picture in the midst of our situation. And He will really come and do great things. And each of us can just attest to that by our changed lives. Thank you for giving me the occasion, Pastor Jeff, and the congregation this morning. Thank you.